You know, it's interesting. I'm sure I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but I had a great time last night.
We're celebrating 29 years of marriage today. And
you know the 1 degree of separation stuff.
So a couple weeks ago, I was at the Halifax Mall with Brad, and we were hanging out in the food court, and this young lady came by, and he introduced me to her, and her name's Jamila, and so we said hi, and then she went and he responded, told me that she's a reggae singer, and so went on her post and found out that she would be performing actually last night here in town. So needless to say, I thought that'd be great to take my wife to, so we went to that, and then she actually called Brad to do some DJing for her in between sets, and so we were out hanging out last night, listening to some great reggae, and actually I'm going to tie that into my sermon a little bit with one of my scriptures later. I'm just trying to pull the island in. But great time, and if you recall, we started a sermon entitled Promises of God. And if you recall, the key scripture we talked about was Abraham in Genesis 15:6, where it said Abram believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness.
Yes.
And you know, I didn't really get into breaking that whole thing down because I believe, unfortunately, in the world of Christianity, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what all that means. And I did allude to some of that in the opening lesson, that it's not just having an intellectual understanding.
That's right.
And even what happens is, if you look at it, Abraham believed God and therefore was righteous. What he believed was the fact that God would do what God promised to do.
That's right.
And I shared about even in ourselves, your lovely bride is right down here, Lucienne. Uh-oh, Jesus is calling. Hey, it's okay. We're one big happy family. And so we talked about it. Believing was not just an intellectual assent, but believing in who God is and that God will do what he claimed to do. And not only that he would do it, has the power to do it. And so often we look at our own lives, like a number of us will make promises, even well-intentioned promises. But something will come up and we cannot fulfill that promise. We won't follow through on that promise. And I think a lot of us, because of that being our upbringing in this world, we sometimes look at God the same way. Yeah, I know God said that, but. And I really think that comes down to Satan. Satan always getting us to question and doubt what God has actually said. And so we went through talking a little bit about that. And I even put up there some scriptures. Genesis 15:6, Genesis 22, where God tests Abraham. You can go to Romans 4, Galatians 3, James 2, even Hebrews 11. Bunch of scriptures all about Abraham and this concept of believing God and then how it impacted his life. And I think that's the big difference. If we really believe in God, if you remember this, then do we really believe God? And so the goal of this series that we're going to do is, over the next several Sundays, I'm going to look at different promises that God has made. And my hope is that you will take these promises in times of good, times of struggle, and go, hold on here a second. I know this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. Yeah. This is what everybody's telling me, but here's what God said. Yeah. And I'm going to hold on to that in the midst of all of that. So are you with me so far?
Yeah.
The eyes are going as well. We have all been hurt. We have deep hurts. We have deep wounds. And some of us have buried them, but still they affect us. Those wounds and hurts affect us physically. They affect us psychologically. At different times in our lives. And how do we ever get to a point to be able to move on from that, to forgive, and to live differently? I appreciate so much what Dean had shared, because I think a number of us, if not all of us, can relate to something like that.
Yeah.
Where someone has hurt us and it is just, it is hard to let go and to forgive. And if we believe that we have forgiven somebody, even if they've apologized, if we said, hey, I forgive you, yet we're still angry, we still get frustrated, we still get agitated with them, we walk into a room and our blood pressure starts going up, anxiety starts to develop, then I want to share with you that you've not forgiven them. Because you're still holding on to something. The flip side of that is, if you walk into a room and you see that person, but you just ignore them, you show them a cold shoulder, you turn your back, you begin to put burdens of expectations on them to live a certain way, then I'm saying that we haven't forgiven. And we cannot forgive subtly, and sometimes obviously. And there's subtle ways to do that. But yet we're called to forgive as Christians. Mm-hmm. And if we are still struggling with stuff like that, I would like to suggest that we're actually still very worldly. We might even say, I apologize or I forgive, but we're really just patronizing the person because we, in our hearts, we have not done that. We'll show platitudes because we want to look a certain way, but in our heart of hearts, have we really forgiven? Peter would say to Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven? Wow, that's a big stretch. Jesus would say, no, 7 times 70. Which is interesting if you want to do a study, because you go back to Genesis, and I shared this last year. Lamech said, hey, I need to be avenged 77 times. He wants revenge. Jesus said, no, we're called to forgive. You know, I think it's probably obvious. The promise that we want to look at today is God's forgiveness. And I think for us, God promises to forgive. Well, how do we answer the question to get deeper understanding of God's love for us if God is going to forgive us? How can we understand God's forgiveness for us? The scripture in this one today is out of Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8:12 out of the NET Bible says, for I will be merciful toward their evil deeds, and their sins I will remember no longer. I have a hard time with that. Because I got a pretty long memory. God, how can you forget and not remember the things I've done? Like, what an incredible promise that God has made for us. And what do we learn about God? Showing forgiveness when we deserve punishment, and yet it's within God's power and His right to punish. But He will forgive us of our sins and remember them no more. There's a promise from God. Do you ever get mad at God? Here's an interesting question. I mean, not only mad, do you ever get just downright angry with God? It got really quiet in here. Because on the one hand, we think, how blasphemous can that be? And yet, there was a time, even in the beginning of this year, I got up at 2 in the morning after a situation that had happened. Couldn't sleep. Went downstairs into our TV room because I didn't want to wake up my wife. Took a pillow, put my face on the ottoman, and just started screaming as loud as I could into my pillow. Because I was just so frustrated and angry. Wow, you're a minister. Yeah, I'm also human. I'm also very sensitive. Things hurt. And it was easy to blame God. Like, God, what? Like, when? Yeah. It's amazing. I recommend you do this yourself. It was very therapeutic. I got a lot of stuff out with God that night. And I really feel in the last 2-3 weeks, life has just been awesome. Interestingly enough, God knows our heart, right? Yeah. But have you ever gotten mad or angry with God? You know, you fill in the blank. God, could you not have whatever it is? You know, in Jeremiah 18, you can just write this down, you can study it on your own. There's a story there about the potter and the clay. Unfortunately, we all want to be the potter, but we're not. Yeah. God is. Yeah. We're the clay. Well, God, why did you make me like this? God, why did you put me in this situation? Why was I raised in this family? Why do I have siblings like that? Why do I not have a job like this? And it's the clay telling the potter, why have you made me the way you made me? And that is really the story that Jeremiah is sharing in chapter 18. And unfortunately, we live in a world today where we have this victim mentality. It's always someone else's fault. And if we really get down underneath, we blame God. But yet, there is another promise. And in John 16... And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose for them. God will work out everything for good if we just continue to devote ourselves to loving Him. If you don't understand, I had this situation or that situation. I come from a broken home. My marriage failed. My kids don't. Whatever. Yeah. No matter how heavy or how hard it is, God says, look, I will work it all out for good. You just stay devoted and focused. Yeah. Unfortunately, we live in a world where we want it now. Yeah. I want the house. I want the cars. I want the money. I want the bank account. I want this. I want that. And God is trying to work everything out so that we can spend eternity with Him.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. You know, God never promised us an easy life. He didn't promise us a life free of pain or hardship. If He did, my eyes wouldn't be so bad, my hearing wouldn't be going, my jaw wouldn't be locking up, my neck wouldn't be in pain. Parts wear out. But we're not living for this life. We're living for the life to come. Yet we can get so caught up. And God promised us eternal life. Second thing I want to talk about. In order for us to really understand God's forgiveness, there are a couple valleys that we need to walk through. The first one is we got to deal with blaming God. The second valley we got to work on is learning how to forgive others. Forgiving others. Wounds, hurts, resentment, bitterness, hard-heartedness. We have so many hurts in our lives. So many things that have happened to us that we develop coping mechanisms to try to get by. We develop ways to deal with that, to protect ourselves from hurt from the past, from hurting us, and others continue to add to that hurt, whether it's directly or indirectly. And for a lot of us, we have a warped understanding of forgiveness because of how we've grown up and because of things that have happened in our life. You know, in my family, there's an incredible cycle that my family has gone through and that I've learned. And it's a cycle of unforgiveness. And it's not as if we don't share, oh man, I'm really sorry. Have you ever heard of the term bury the hatchet? So in my family, I'm sure not yours, but in my family growing up, we would bury the hatchet. And you'd take the metal end of that hatchet, and you'd bury it in the ground. It's figurative, okay? Not literally. And you'd bury it in the ground. But as soon as you hurt me again, I grab that handle, and that hatchet's coming back out. And now I'm going to bury it in your back. That's how we dealt with forgiveness. Forgiveness was ignored. It was swept under carpets. It was didn't happen. Hey, we'll sit and we'll talk to one another and just ignore it until something sparks it. That, I think, is for a lot of us, our families. And so now we become Christians, and we've got to learn how to forgive. But we really don't know how to forgive. And I think the first valley was blaming God. The second valley is learning how to forgive others. And we've got to look to God for that. You know, in counseling and social work, they talk about transference issues. And what it is, what that generally means is, you know, someone in your past, someone in your life who has hurt you, all of a sudden you meet somebody who reminds you of them, has the same tone of voice, same look, might even say something exactly, and all of a sudden all of these issues over here come running up on this person. We talk about the hatchet. This is to my shame. But there have been times where I have gotten angry and blown up at people and has nothing really to do with them, but has to do everything back there. But they're going to take the brunt. Now, I'm confessing a lot of things here. It's really quiet in here. So I'm assuming that's because you think I got you got a really bad minister. Or you're going, who talked to him about my family? But it's our world. And all of a sudden we come together as a family and we're called to forgive one another, but we have such a hard time with it. Someone gives us a look. Someone says something with a tone in their voice. There's a mannerism. There's a feeling of being disrespected. A feeling of being attacked. And also we bring all this buried hurt and all this buried pain forward and we hurl it at the direction of someone who's unsuspecting. Yeah. It's almost like standing on a beach not knowing that there's a 10-foot high tsunami about to roll in. And you're sitting there enjoying the sun, this is all, and all of a sudden you look and there's the wave and you're done. But we've all done it. You know, to forgive others, I put a little Bible study here that you may want to look at and study out yourself. But I think how we go about helping others and to forgive others is by this. Romans 3, 21 through 26. Paul says, we've all sinned. We all fall short. I want you to think about that for a moment. Not, I can't believe that person did whatever. But God, like Dean was sharing, look at what you've done. One of the things I try to do in my own life is when someone is struggling with something or confessing something, whatever, I need to stop. Even if I can't relate, like, seriously, bro, like, I don't understand why you would struggle with that. But there are stuff I do struggle with. So let me go there for a moment. Understand that emotion and feeling, how I feel in those moments. Now carry that forward to go, how can I help this person? Because if we're all in the same boat together, because we've all sinned, then I'm going to be in a position to be able to help emotionally. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Our good deeds will not save us. Yeah. The scripture there says, and I'm spacing here, Greg will know it.
Filthy deeds.
Filthy
deeds.
Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Which one is it, Greg? Our good deeds are like filthy rags before the Lord. If we're looking to all our good deeds to make us feel better, when we compare our good deeds to what God has done, they're like filthy rags. So we can't rely on what we do. Matthew 18, 21 through 35 is about the unmerciful servant who has a huge debt that is forgiven, but one of his fellow servants who owes him a little bit, he can't forgive them even though this huge debt has been forgiven. Well, what debt has been forgiven for us? All our sin. Yet we can't turn around to this person, even if they've intentionally sinned against us, and we can't turn around and just say, I forgive you. Wow. And to drive the point home in Luke 23, 34, Jesus is hanging on a cross. He's looking at the guys that whipped him half dead, put nails through his wrist, taking his clothes. Look at all the religious leaders, helped put him there. And he looks at his father and says, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. That's you and me. As much as we think we know, We don't know what we're doing. And we just need to throw ourselves on the mercy of our God. Amen?
Yeah.
Accepting God's forgiveness should compel us to want to forgive others. And that includes my next valley that we got to go through. Forgiving ourselves. This is a hard one. Hard for me. It's hard for me because I expect a lot out of myself. And I fail myself a lot. And then I can start going into that spiral. And it doesn't matter what you say. Oh, bro, no, you're hot. No, I'm not. Now I'm stuck. And yet, is this not throwing shade on God who forgives me, but yet can't forgive myself?
Yeah.
Why do we hold on to our guilt? Why is it so hard to just let go? Could it be that we have an unhealthy understanding of our own expectations? I should have known better. Why do I keep on doing blank, blank, blank? We have all grown up with unhealthy patterns of expectations of ourselves and of others. Here's Jesus' expectation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Wow. The world gives us a heavy burden to bear. Jesus says, you know, take my yoke, because I'm humble and I'm gentle in heart. I will help you. Jesus says he will teach us. And we're called to learn to imitate his heart of humility and gentleness. You know, again, I like doing stuff like this, but I want to read the same passage in a different version. The Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, I look at that. And again, I love the way the wording is, but having gone to this last night and listening to some reggae and swaying with the music, and just letting it take over inside, and you just learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Can you imagine if grace were a sound wave? What would that be like? And you think about allowing that grace to move you through your life, through your day. Hey, someone hurt me.
Yeah.
Grace covers it. Hey, I don't think we're going to... Grace will cover it. You know what? Weather's bad. Grace will cover it. God's in control. We're not. And we're going to let the rhythm of grace roll our life. And you know, it's funny because we were sitting there last night and really good performance and entertainment, obviously with the music and stuff. But it's just interesting because I tend to be, you know, I start looking around and watch, and you just see people. And it's so, you just see people start to really get into the music. And they all have their own rhythm with the music. Some are in beat with it. Others are not. And it's easy to sit there and, you know, but then I'm sitting there going, but they're enjoying their life. They don't care if they're out of step. They're just enjoying what they're doing. And I want to share that in light of this passage is if we can let go of our own unhealthy expectations. If we can stop blaming God. If we can learn and really forgive people from our own hearts. If we can learn to forgive ourselves. And just let God's grace run us through our day. I think we'd be a lot happier. I think we'd be a lot more at peace.
Yeah.
Unforced rhythms of grace. I love it. You know, there's a story that Jesus tells about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And they go to pray. And the Pharisee stands there and holds his arms out, looks up to heaven and goes, God, I'm glad I'm not like him. I do this, and I do that, and I give this, and I'm so high, and I'm... And then the tax collector wouldn't even look up, and he just literally said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Jesus says, who walked away justified before the Lord? If our good deeds are like filthy rags before the Lord. This tax collector said, God, just have grace on me. Have mercy. I'm a sinner. The tax collector, I believe, walked away in the rhythms of grace. You know, as we conclude, you know, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Psalms 103. It's interesting because I posted this the one Sunday that we weren't able to get together. And it's funny because even I think Dean referred to Psalms 130, which was another one I was going to give you. But in Psalms 103, we'll pick it up in verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembered no more. For from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The rhythm of grace. This is our God. And it's interesting as we go through here. You know, I think of when studying the Bible and really coming to understanding of my own sin before the Scriptures. And literally ask the question, do you want to repent? Do you want to live following Jesus? Do you want to live a life of a Christian citizen? And I said yes. And then the next question was to walk through, well, what are you going to need to change in your life? What are some of the things to repent of? And I decided I'm going to do this. And then I remember standing the waters of baptism and understanding that as I immerse myself in this water, that my old life is going to be buried. And when I come up out of it, all my sin is going to be forgiven by God. I'm going to receive his indwelling of his Holy Spirit to give me the strength and power to strive to live this life. That's God's promise. As we go through this, it just amazes me in the Old Testament. As far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed your sins from you. How far is the east from the west? As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love. Where are the heavens? But God's love. And so I look at stuff like this and I think, you know what? We have an incredible God who's made some incredible promises. And I want to ask you this week to maybe go through Psalms 103 and write down how many promises God makes in that psalm to you. We have an incredible, incredible God. Amen?
Amen.
God forgives freely, quickly, and repeatedly. So what should motivate us? God's love. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" What ultimately should cause us to strive to live a righteous life? God's love for us. His forgiveness of our sins. It should motivate us. Christ's love compels us, as Paul would say. Does it mean we will be perfect? Nope. But I'm going to strive to stay in the rhythm of God's grace. Probably going to hear that a lot from me. Because I like it. But let's look at a different translation. The Message. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or do you think that because He's such a nice God, He'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but He's not soft. In kindness, He takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. You know, to me, I love the balance of this. It's easy for us to distract. Let's point a finger at other people and their mistakes. But we got to look at ourselves. Romans 3. That's not going to distract God from taking a deep look at us. And yes, God is nice. That doesn't get us off the hook. And God's not soft. That's the other side of God's promise, and I alluded to that a couple weeks back. But you know what? His kindness, literally, to me, this picture is a father taking their child by the hand and firmly leading them to safety. That's what God wants to do for all of us, to lead us to a place of safety. And therefore, we want to change because of God's love for us. Amen? I have two questions I want you to think about this week. Remember studying out sin for the first time? Remember your baptism and the washing away of your sins and the amazing feeling to be forgiven? Do you still feel forgiven today? And that's a question. Especially those of us who are older. You know, you can relate more to that story of the sinful woman. When Jesus said, "He who's without sin cast the first stone." And it says all the older ones left first. Didn't take long for them to go, okay. And the second question is this. Do you view God as one who is eager to forgive? Or do you doubt? You know, when struggles or doubt begin to attack us, I want us to remember that God has forgiven us, forgiven you, forgiven me of all our sin. And He promised. And God does not go back on His promises. So let us use that to motivate us to live a changed life, to continue to move forward. Amen? At this time, I'm going to ask the music ministry to come on back up. We're going to sing a couple more songs.